This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Yes, that line forms on the right, babe.
Let's go!
Not that Maggie. But up.
What is going on? How did we get here? I drove. I'm not sure what you guys are doing, but how did we get here? 888-808-1019. I got you for 3 hours on the morning where a Knick championship became more than just some distant dream. Where the idea, the visualization, try that one more time. I'm so amped up I can't speak. Of watching the Knicks hoist an NBA championship became a possibility. This is where it began last night with one of the more improbable, impossible. I have no idea how the hell the Knicks did it again. And to me, this one is far, far more shocking than game one. Following game one, you knew the Celtics were going to be on a different level. And the way they played to start the game, at least the first quarter, looked like a basketball game in game one. The Knicks were awful to start this game. Neither team was very good, but the Knicks in particular were awful. They had nothing going on. You look at some of the numbers in this game, it's a joke. Like, they were terrible to start this game. It was awful. It was ugly. It was hideous. It was everything. And then they get the 20-point lead. It's a remake of game one. And typically, the sequel is never as good as the original, and I didn't have any hopes. I'll be totally honest with you. I am sitting there figuring, well, it's kind of unfortunate because we talked about it last night that I wanted this to be a battle. I wanted this to be at the very least, a fight where you put some fear into the Boston Celtics. And not only did they put fear into the Boston Celtics, the Boston Celtics are completely lost. They are completely lost. This is the defending NBA champion, and I know we're going to talk Knicks. And I don't want to make it seem like the Knicks aren't part of the reason why the Celtics are completely lost at the end of this game, why the coach is completely lost at the end of this game, why they look so timid and afraid and can't hit a shot and look so tight. That's the defending NBA champion who last year went through the postseason without a fight. Last year went through the playoffs like a hot knife through butter and no real competition. They find themselves in an absolute knock 'em down, drag 'em out, ugly 91-90 game against the New York Knicks, who have the best closer in the game, who actually have a plan at the end of the game, who have players who come to show up at the end of the game. Hello, Mikal Bridges. And the Boston Celtics look absolutely lost. And for many reasons, and a lot of it has to do with the Knicks, this is more than just the Celtics missing shots. This is more than just the Celtics taking too many threes. The Boston Celtics are lost in this game. It's very rare, especially when you're talking about the level of underdog the Knicks were going into this game, to have the complete mental advantage. There is something special. Even though both of these games get out to a 20-point lead for the Boston Celtics, it is clear as day. The New York Knicks have the mental and toughness advantage over this team by a mile. And when you pull them out consistently like this, there is no better feeling than knowing that no matter what happens, this is the complete antithesis of what we saw during the regular season, where it felt like no matter what happens, the Celtics would win. Right now, there is no doubt that the Boston Celtics are completely lost and are afraid. And if these games are even close, the New York Knicks are going to find a way to pull it out. The Boston Celtics are so messed up. They are fouling Mitch Robinson to get him out of the game. The New York Knicks present such a problem with Mitchell Robinson and Karl-Anthony Towns on the floor at the same time, the two bigs. And Mitchell Robinson is such a good defender, and they don't know how to make a shot as they miss shot after shot. The last 8 minutes of this game, the only field goal they have is the coast-to-coast dunk from Tatum, who is completely is out of his game, can't hit a shot, looks completely frazzled. They are fouling Mitch Robinson before they even get to the bonus just to get him off the floor because of the issues he's presenting defensively. We talked about, well, they're not playing the Celtics without Mitch Robinson. The team's not whole. Well, what really? How much of a difference does Mitch Robinson make? He's literally being fouled and bringing the team to the bonus just to get him off the floor. And you talk about, the performance from Mikal Bridges is otherworldly. This is a guy, and he's the testament of what this team was in this game number two. He can't find the bottom of the net to save his life. He is 1-for-9. He has nothing going on. I mean, you look at it, right? Mikal Bridges scores all of his 14 points in the fourth quarter. OG Anunoby scores 5 points in this game. Brunson scores 17 points in this game. The entire starting five is a minus on the plus-minus. OG Anunoby plays 38 minutes, scores 5 points. Brunson scores 17. Josh Hart is the leading scorer, and they come back from 20 points down to beat the Celtics? I mean, this is an incredible performance, and let's be fair. I know I talked about Mikal Bridges. F them picks. I mean, there is absolutely what he's done here in the last three games. The closeout of the Pistons, and now these first two games against the Boston Celtics. What he has done in the fourth quarter, both offensively and specifically in this game offensively. But what he has done offensively and defensively to end all three of the last victories that the Knicks have had here is, I mean, you can't play better. This guy is dominating the game. His defense, his length, his ability to guard the perimeter, to end the game in both of these games, think of how eerily similar these games are. They pull away in the second quarter. They take a big lead into the third, 20-point game. The Knicks battle back, and this one's even more incredible. They're down 20 with like 4 minutes left in the third quarter. They're down 10 with 5 minutes left in this game.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
And Mikal Bridges absolutely dominates. And to end the game with him having a block and a steal and throwing the ball ahead in both of these games is remarkable. And to watch this performance, it's the tale of two teams, right? Because there's no doubt, as much as I want to be pro-Nick, and I do think that what we saw defensive-wise from OG Anunoby and Bridges presents a major problem for them and makes it very difficult for them. And Karl Anthony Towns and Mitchell Robinson on the floor at the same time, the double big lineup from Tibbs, who's having an incredible series. He is coaching circles around Missoula. Circles. He is the double big matchup has presented such a problem for them. They're fouling Mitch Robinson to get him off the floor. And give it to Karl Anthony Towns. He's the only offense they have at the beginning of this game to even keep them afloat. He's got, in both of these games, big putbacks off offensive rebounds, dominating the glass in the fourth quarter. I mean, OG Anunoby scores 5 points. I felt his impact. You are having guys make winning plays and having impact without having good games. But there is the story of two teams here. There is the choke of the Boston Celtics. And make no mistake, again, as much as I want to present you with the issues that the Knicks are presenting, and there are reasons why the Knicks are making it difficult for the Boston Celtics. But the Boston Celtics, the defending champions, are completely choking these games away. And this wasn't a game where they just hoisted a bunch of threes. I mean, ultimately, the numbers are going to tell you they shoot a lot of threes. They take 40 threes in this game. That's who they are. But Brown made it a point, especially early in this game, to try and get to the basket. They played a different style of basketball for a lot of this game. You saw it at the half. Kenny was talking about it in the halftime show. They were passing up threes to get to the basket. But then in the fourth quarter, as the game is being choked away, they go back to what they know, which is trying to find three-pointers. And right now it's not falling. They don't hit a shot for the last 8 minutes of this game. The Knicks go on a 21-2 run to get back in it. And then when it comes down to crunch time, who makes the plays? Who makes the shots? Who makes the defensive stops? All of it belongs to the New York Knicks. And honestly, right now, the main feeling that I have off of these two games, because I'll tell you, I had no expectation of the Knicks winning this basketball game. If you heard me yesterday, I was talking about keeping it close. I was talking about making them have a fight. I was talking about stamping game number one and that victory with a good performance that kept the game close, made the Celtics fight for it, and put a legitimacy on the win of game one that it wasn't a fluke. Well, forget that. Forget the fluke nature of game one. Now, honestly, this is where you start to really look at this team as a possible championship team. And we haven't done it with any real weight behind it this entire year. This entire year, we've been measuring this team against last year's team. That's dead. This team is better than last year's team. This year's team has the talent and the ability to get back into the game with its, you know, fortitude, with its toughness, with its versatility. It has all of the things we loved about last year's team with more talent. This year's team is better than last year's team. This year's team has more ways to beat you than last year's team. This year's team has taken the first two games from the Boston Celtics, the defending champs, with a possible series against the Pacers looming up next. This is the first time that you can honestly say that it's not just a pipe dream, that it's not just what we all hope. It's not just some sort of fantasy where, you know, maybe the Celtics fall down. They are falling down. And the Knicks grabbed the first two games in Boston and now head back home as favorites in this series. It is now, if we look back, this is where it starts. This game is where you start to believe that this team is an NBA championship caliber team, that there is a chance that this Knicks team, a legitimate chance, not a pipe dream, not, oh, they can't hang with the big boys, they're not as good, Karl Anthony Towns will fade and cry and disappear, you know, or they're not talented enough, they're not this enough, they're not tough enough, they don't have that guy, they don't have that secondary scorer, the bench isn't good enough, the coach isn't that kind of coach who could take you to the next level. All of that is out the window. After this victory, and to go up 2-0 in this series, and to do it in the manner they did it in consecutive games, to rip the heart out of the Boston Celtics in their building as they coughed up a 20-point lead in both of these games, and down the stretch, make every big play and outplay them on every level, and watching Brunson do what he continues to do, watching the difference that Mitchell Robinson makes in this game, watching the problems that they preside with their double big lineup, and then watching Mikal Bridges become a freaking two-way legend at the end of these games. If they can do this, there is nothing else down the line. If they can win five consecutive road games in the NBA playoffs, and the last two against the defending champs, there is no obstacle that they will get from this point on that is any tougher than what they've already done. I'm not guaranteeing a championship. That's not my style. But what I'm saying is they have proven it's not just a hope. It's not just a fool's hope. It's not just a dream. They have proven that they are up to any task that will be asked of them the rest of the way. Now it becomes a legitimate, real, tangible touch, smell as we get ready for Madison Square Garden on a Saturday afternoon at 3:30 that is going to be absolutely bonkers. The feeling in that building is no longer, hey, let's give the Celtics a fight like I was talking about yesterday. The feeling is no longer, hey, let's find out if we can even compete. The feeling in that building is, we're tougher than you. We're better than you. We've proved it over the first two games. And we're going to prove it the rest of the series. And if we can prove that, there's nothing else we can't accomplish on our way to the first championship since the early 70s. That's where the Knicks are today. That's what that game proved. And to watch it it was done. This game was dead. And that the fact that they're able to pull it out and the plays that they make and watching the defense they played and watching the Celtics fold. Like, that's part of it. We have to admit that. The Celtics are wilting in any big moment. As soon as the Knicks put a scare in them, they want no part of it. This has been a remarkable two games. These are the two best wins the New York Knicks fans have had in 25-plus years. And right now, it feels like they are a legitimate championship contender. And we've had that discussion all year long. They can't beat the great teams. They can't beat the best teams. They can't beat the Celtics. They can't beat Cleveland. They can't beat OKC. Well, they just took the heart out of the Boston Celtics for the first two games in Boston. Cleveland is probably not even going to get past the Pacers, and if they do, they're banged up. And if you get to an NBA Finals, anything can happen. And right now, if there isn't a single better term to describe this Knicks team than anything can happen, I don't know it. Because what we've just seen here is, it's crazy. It doesn't happen. And to watch the Celtics throw the ball away, to watch the Celtics miss wide open threes, to watch the Celtics play for the three-pointer after trying to do it differently most of the game, but everything couldn't, Brown down low couldn't fall. They have a tip-in easy layup, that doesn't fall. Nothing was going right for the Boston Celtics down the stretch, and the Knicks made every single big play. And Mikal Bridges deserves his absolute flowers. I mean, this is a guy, let's be fair, right? This is back-to-back nights we're talking about, whether or not he's already justified the trade. You can forget that. I'm sorry, he has justified the trade. These are two of the greatest wins this franchise has had in a quarter century. Yeah, he's earned those stupid picks. His defense at the end of these games they are so fundamentally sound. That's what's so impressive. Like, you couldn't teach it better. He is so fundamentally sound. The way he was able to stick between, you know, Tatum and his man, and then at the last minute, once he realizes Tatum's facing the wrong way, get in his face and be there for that block pass, and then the way he handled that other play, to end the games the way he's ended them, and not giving them an... They haven't even had an opportunity to take a shot to win the game. Not only have they come back from 20 points down, when the Celtics have it with seconds left to try and salvage this victory, the Knicks don't allow shots. The Celtics can't get a shot off. They've got Porzingis, who clearly is dealing with whatever he's dealing with and is a shell of himself and can't be a part of it. Tatum playing some of the worst basketball we've possibly ever seen him play. Brown missing every shot. They are absolutely a shell of themselves, and the Knicks have them shook. And that's the best part. The best part of this is that down the stretch of this game, it feels like, watching it now, especially going back and watching it, but watching it during the game, it feels like nobody feels stronger that the Knicks are going to win the game than the Boston Celtics. There is not another group, there is not another person watching, there is not a person in the stands watching on television. In that building, there is no one more confident the Knicks are going to win that game than the Boston Celtics. That's how it feels. That's the advantage the Knicks have at the end of these games. And if they can do that, if they can go from a team who doesn't belong in the same gym as the defending champs to being a team that exerts its will to such an extent at the end of these games that the Celtics believe they're going to lose, there is not another metamorphosis that they will need to get past anything that's in front of them to win an NBA championship. This series isn't over. Game three becomes imperative to me because you need to hold on to this momentum. You do not want to give it back. Ultimately, they need to just take one of these two games in New York. But Saturday, to keep the foot on the throat of this Boston Celtics team is going to be huge. But make no mistake, they can win this series. They're favored to win this series. Hell, they better win this series. But this morning at 2:23, we get to say something that was just a thought. We get to say something that was just a dream. We get to say something that other people and other fan bases and other NBA fans would scoff at when we said it. The New York Knicks are NBA championship contenders. That is now a fact. It started last night, and we'll see how far they can take it, but there is nothing that they can't do. If they can do what they just accomplished, if they can end these games like this, if they can win five consecutive road games, if they can take down the defending champs in this manner, there's nothing ahead of them, whether it be the Celtics, whether it be the Cavs, and anybody out west. There is nothing the Knicks can't do. 888-808-1019. Let's take a call in the open real quick. Lee in Brooklyn, how we feeling, Lee?
Man, listen, we are feeling great. I mean, I, you know, you really hit it on the head. How did we get here? The sequel is better.
The sequel is never better. This one's better. This is even better than game. It's more unlikely. I had a real feeling the Knicks, even down 20, had a chance in game one.
Exactly.
I got to be honest. Until the last 2 minutes of the game, I didn't think the Knicks had a chance in this one.
No. You got to understand something. When Jalen Brunson came to the team, it was like, is he really that guy?
Right.
Is he just good or is he that guy? He's showing you he's that guy.
And he's been showing us, absolutely.
In everything that he does and everything he's doing. Man, listen, go New York, go New York, go.
Let's go. And listen, he's not the star of this game. The star of this game is Mikal Bridges. And then, honestly, second, Mitch Robinson. Mitch, how many steals? How many loose balls? How many rebounds? Like, Mitch Robinson is a major force in this series. Again, the Celtics aren't in the bonus yet. The Hakimich doesn't work until they're in the bonus. They are fouling him to get to the bonus so that the Knicks will take him off the floor to avoid Mitch taking free throws. The Boston Celtics, the defending champs, the team that the Knicks don't belong in the gym with, got to a point in this game where they are afraid of Mitchell Robinson. They're afraid of him. The coaches asked in the postgame, do you really believe the strategy of Fallon Mitch to get him off the floor? He says, yeah. He's a plus 19. All of their starters are a minus. Mitchell Robinson is a plus 19 in this game. The next best is McBride at plus 9. He is 10 points better than any other player on the court. And the Boston Celtics, the mighty Boston Celtics, are afraid of him. The guy who looks like he could barely jump. The guy they can't throw a pass to, but without it going through his hands. The guy who everybody told us wouldn't make a difference and it's not that big a deal. And that you can't, we're still waiting on Mitch. Oh, so what? What's Mitch going to mean? Mitch means so much. The Boston Celtics are drawing fouls, putting themselves closer to the bonus in a tight game in the fourth quarter because they want Mitchell Robinson off the floor. If that doesn't tell you all you need to know about the dynamic switch in this series, Tatum can't hit a shot. None of them can hit a shot for the last 8 minutes of this game. And they are so confused with how to handle the advantage that the Knicks have with the double bigs. They are fouling Mitch Robinson, not to put him on the foul line, to get him out of the game. And Tibbs was smart to let him wait. Tibbs is about to bring in OG, and he's like, you know what? Hold on. Wait a second. They're going to foul him again. They want him out of the game so bad. Oh, let's get closer to the bonus. We know how good the Celtics are, and we understand that in both of these games, they have gotten out to 20-point leads. I am not declaring the series over. They have to go out and win two more games, and it's not going to be easy. But I never, even if I gave the Knicks a punching chance, I never thought that we would get to a point that the Knicks have such a mental advantage over the Boston Celtics that they can't hit a shot, that their best players are useless, and that they are trying to do everything they can to get Mitchell Robinson off the floor. That's coaching. Tibbs is having an enormous series. We'll get to that. But that is just a mental advantage the Knicks are presenting over the Boston Celtics, who look completely afraid. 888-808-1019. We'll talk more about Mikal Bridges. I feel like in the 28 minutes I've been speaking, I'm probably light on how incredible he was in this game. And the big shot, the two turned into a three. I mean, that's the difference in the game. His mid-range game, the way he was able to get buckets, and then, of course, his defense. I mean, the way he has sealed these two games are historic. Like, it's memorable. those two moments, those that picture of him stealing the ball from Brown and blocking the ball from Tatum in consecutive heroic come-from-behind victories, those are iconic moments. This is not hyperbole. This has been a franchise in the abyss for a quarter of a century, and they are pulling off historic wins. No team in the history of the NBA playoffs have won back-to-back games in the manner the Knicks just did. They've won five consecutive road games. It's historic what we're seeing, and it proves to me that the dream of an NBA championship is no longer that. Now it's a reality. The Knicks, as presently constituted, are good enough to win an NBA championship. Now they just have to go out and do it. 888-808-1019. Quick break. More of your Knick calls as we take you all the way through the morning. Yeah, I know Devin Williams. Yeah, I know two home runs from Juan Soto. That might be the last time we hear those names uttered on this show. As we are focused on the New York Knicks and the Boston Celtics and the two games that they just pulled out of thin air and game three on Saturday.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Swung on.
There it goes. Deep left. It is high. It is far. It is gone. Number 62 to set the new American League record.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
On this miraculous Thursday morning, as the Knicks, down 20 points again, battle all the way back in an ugly, mucked up, turnover-riddled 91-90 victory, which is, I mean, it's impossible to figure out, man. And there's a lot of different elements to this game. I do want to get to the calls, because let's enjoy this together. Let's celebrate. It's worth celebrating, too. Look, the players have to be, hey, all we've done is won two games. We don't have to be. We can enjoy the hell out of this, because whatever happens next, these two wins are as good as it gets. If you can't enjoy this, then we're doing it wrong. This is a morning to celebrate, man. That performance is incredible. And, you know, there's a lot to get to. Carl Anthony Towns in this game, 17 rebounds. 17. And really was the offense in the first half keeping them close. They ran the offense through him. He was hitting shots. He had three and ones in this game? I know two for sure. I thought there was a third, but now when I said it, I wasn't sure. I know two for sure. And there was a stretch where he was on fire. And remember that stretch? He had four possessions in a row. He got to the basket and made a shot. And then all of a sudden, campaign dribbles down the court and puts up a three. And I'm like, what the hell is he doing? There's a lot of reasons why they're down 20 as well. They have not played well. The Knicks have not played well. Like, outside of the fourth quarters of these games, the Knicks haven't played well. I mean, obviously neither of the Celtics, and that's really the other, as much as we want to give credit to the Knicks, you can't deny the Celtics are just absolutely choking this game away. And, you know, Tatum has just been ice cold. He's dealing with a wrist. He's 5 of 19 from the floor, 1 of 5 from 3. He has 13 points in this game. 13. But they're choking away 20-point leads. They're up 10 with 4 minutes left. It's definitely a lot about the Celtics choking. And they're in, you know, they're body language, everything looks awful at the end of these games, and they can't hit a shot to save their lives. But the Knicks do present problems, and part of it is the Knicks' defense. It's not just a bunch of open shots and layups that the Celtics can't hit. They're making it difficult for them. Mitch and Carl Anthony Towns on the floor at the same time is presenting a problem for them, and OG Anunoby and Bridges are playing excellent defense. And Josh Hart scores 23 points in this game, and he gives you what he normally gives you. It's just an incredible performance. Let's get to the calls, though. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Hector in the Bronx. What's up, Hector?
Hey, C-Mac, how you doing this evening, man?
Good, brother. How are you?
I can't complain, man. I'm a Knicks fan. I'm happy as hell.
But
I will say one thing, man. Like, hear me out real quick, right? I'm not being a downer, but I'm ecstatic that we're winning. But it could have been either way, man, because, like, that three-pointer at the end of the first game, and then if we miss one of these last four-quarter baskets, we'll be down by two. So I just think that I don't want to be a mush and start celebrating yet. And I just think, like, if I listen to what you're saying, I would think that we're blowing them out of these games. I mean, we're just barely getting these games.
They're down 20 points, and they're coming back, and we're watching the Celtics fold in clutch moments, and they've won the first two games against Boston.
I totally agree.
All right, so.
But at the same time, I wouldn't say that we're like he's coaching in circles around this guy.
At the end of this game,
man,
that's what
really?
Coaching is, yes. It's at the end of the game. Where the coach, like, that's where the coaching resides, at these moments at the end of the game. And they're fouling Mitch Robinson and can't come up with a single good offensive possession.
I understand that, but you got it also. Now, what if, again, we didn't score those? We score one less.
What if they all went in? I'm going to be what if. Yeah, there's a lot of what ifs. They won the games. They were down 20 points. They came back and won the game. Again, I am not declaring the series over. I'm saying that the Knicks established what we were wondering, what we were dreaming about. There was a question on whether or not this team is capable of beating the upper echelon teams in the NBA. There was a question whether or not they were a championship-level team. And I think most, you know, legitimate, honest, self-aware Knicks fans would have probably said, no, not this year. The bench isn't deep enough. I don't know if I trust Karl Anthony Towns in this spot. They need that other scorer. They've been bad defensively. They're not tough enough. Something's missing with this group. That's what I think most Knicks fans would have said heading into this postseason. Then certainly after losing game 5 against the Detroit Pistons at home with a chance to close it out, I think a lot of fans, myself included, really wondered whether or not this is a team capable of winning an NBA championship. They are a huge underdog against this Boston Celtic team. Heading in, nobody expected them to win. Nobody expected them to compete. All I'm saying is these two games prove that they are at least capable of doing what we wondered if they were capable of. We've wondered it all year. We've compared it to last year's team. We've compared it to the Celtics and Cavaliers. We've compared this group and whether or not Leon Rose has done enough, whether or not they have enough of a bench, whether or not Tibbs plays the bench enough, whether or not Tibbs is the head coach that can get... I'm sorry, right? Tibbs just coached two excellent freaking games. To play the two bigs as much as he did, like, what he's been, the side out of bounds plays, the good looks they're getting, like the way that offense is prepared, you have to be an extremely well-coached team to be on the road against the defending champions, be down 20 points late in the third quarter, and come back and win the game. That is a level of mental toughness and well-preparedness that that's a high level of it if you're going to accomplish that. Tibbs has had an excellent first two games. They've proved they are mentally tougher than the Boston Celtics these first two games. And all I'm saying is, as we have wondered about this group all year, there is no longer a need to wonder. The only wondering left is, can they do it? Because they still have to go out and win another two games in this series, 4 games in the next series, and 4 games in an NBA Finals if they're lucky enough to get there. They still have a lot of win. They have 10 more games to win. You have to go out there and do it. And I'm not guaranteeing they're going to do it. I'm not telling you I love that. I'm not going to go bet my mortgage on it. But what I'm saying is, heading into this series, we didn't really believe it was even a possibility. It was a pipe dream. Now it's real. Now it's tangible. They're up 2-0 against the best team in the NBA. They're up 2-0 on the defending champs. They're up 2-0 on a team that they couldn't beat in a series they couldn't win. It became real with this second win. It became real taking the first two games of the series. That's just how I feel. That's how I feel. It became like now we have a real, now it's out. Now it's just a matter of go out there and play well enough to get it done. Before yesterday, it was, well, this is really fun, and that was a great game one. And I mean, maybe, but now it's, okay, now go win this series, go get it done. And especially with the idea that it's very likely, and again, we don't know, but it's very likely a Pacers team that I think every Knick fan would tell you they have a chance to beat in a playoff series would be what's preventing them from getting. They're two wins away from possibly having to take on a Pacers team to get to an NBA Finals. It's becoming real. Chris in Farmingdale. What's up, Chris?
Hey, C-Mac. I must have yelled so loud that I shook my apartment to where my neighbor felt the vibration.
Yeah, I'm sure.
One thing, I don't want to get us ahead. I know, you just explained you're not getting ahead of yourself. I would say championship contenders because OKC is on another level, and we just see what they did tonight. And they lost last night based on bad coaching. And I don't think it's even inexperience. They've been there before. Now, as far as like getting ahead and hopefully playing the Pacers in the Eastern Conference Finals. Look, the only reason the Pacers are probably up the way they are, and I watched the highlights. They made some really good shots, and I'm not discrediting the Pacers, but Cleveland's missing their three top players.
Yes, of course. They're missing Hunter. They're missing Garland. Yeah. They're missing.
Yep.
Yeah. There's no doubt. They are absolutely banked up. There's no doubt.
We want the Pacers. We want revenge from last year.
Absolutely.
But, that could be a 7-game series. And look, the Knicks just got to win one of these two home games.
No
I
doubt.
Think if they win one of those home games, then the series is a wrap, regardless of Boston.
I wouldn't even go that far, Chris, but because you have to win that fourth game. I would say I agree with you. Game five has to be an elimination game. They have to go back, the bare minimum that the Knicks have to accomplish right now is to go back to Boston with the series with a chance to win the series. They have to split one of these two games at Madison Square Garden. They cannot allow the Celtics to come to the Garden, win both those games, and because then we're back to they have no chance to win the series. They have got to win one of the next two games. But I'm already past the point of it's real. It's legit. They are good enough to win the series. They can win the series. They still can lose it. But they're good enough to win this series. And they're going to have to, go out and play a really, really good basketball game because I'm sure the Celtics haven't played well. Even as they took a 20-point lead, the Knicks were terrible. The Knicks scored 13 points in the first quarter. They couldn't buy a shot. They had the three that was clearly, at the beginning of the game, that first shot, everyone in the building, everyone watching on TV knew OG didn't get it off in time. So like they didn't score a basket for the first six minutes or so. They were dreadful at the beginning of this game. And offensively, they were really bad on that. OG Anunoby scores 5 points in this game. They shot 43% from the field, 29 from three. This is not one of the great games you've ever seen. This is an ugly game that both teams really didn't play well. But when it comes down to making plays, they were incredible in the fourth quarter. And Mikal Bridges was great. OG Anunoby, again, scores 5 points. You felt his presence. That's what's special about this group, too. Guys are making winning plays when they're not playing well and they're not putting the ball in the basket. Jalen Brunson scored 17 points. OG Anunoby scored 5, and they won the basketball game. Like, Mitch Robinson, who was more impactful than him? He scores 6 points. Now, I know he's not a scorer, but I'm just saying, like, guys are doing things off the ball. Guys are making plays. Guys are defending. Like, you are feeling the impact of players who aren't having good games because they're playing smart and they're making game-winning plays. And the idea that they are so much better in the fourth quarter goes to Tibbs as well. Like, Tibbs has had a great series. He's presented mismatches at the end of these games, and they are. It's not always just coaching decisions about, you know, who to put in right now or how to draw up a side out of bounds play, which I've been critical of Tibbs in the past of those things. But it's about having your team mentally prepared. And if you watch the Knicks and the Celtics play that game down the stretch, the Knicks had an offense. The Knicks were able to go to different things. The Knicks were able to find shots. The Celtics looked completely off kilter. That's coaching. Which team is more prepared in the fourth quarter? That is coaching. Steve in Rockland. What's up, Steve?
Well, Chris, you know, the Celtics, I use the word arrogant.
Yes.
They're so analytically driven that they refuse to go away from the three, even when they go 10 for 40 today in this game. Let them keep doing it. That's fine with me. Let them keep throwing up 10 for 40.
Yeah.
It's not bothering me. And the other thing, I don't care. After last year with the Knicks, I don't care if the other team has to send guys out onto the court on crutches. I don't care.
Oh, absolutely.
Care.
Oh, no one. I understand. Okay? Yeah, I completely agree with you. I don't care that Tatum is dealing with a wrist injury. Play better. I don't care that no one feels bad for the Celtics that, you know, obviously Porzingis is dealing with something. I mean, it sounds like they're not even sure what it is, which is probably scary. So I do feel bad for Porzingis himself, but I don't feel bad for the Celtics that they're down Porzingis. This is part of it. This is the you just mentioned it. What the Knicks had to go through last year, what the Cleveland Cavaliers are going through right now. Like, it's just, I mean, they're missing Mobley, they're missing Garland, they're missing Hunter. They got three of their five starters down. Like, so no one's feeling bad for the Boston Celtics. And plus, they had 20-point leads.
Like, yeah,
with all of that going on, with Porzingis not having an impact, with Tatum not playing well, with everything, they still had a 20-point lead and a 10-point lead with 5 minutes left. Close out the game. They are absolutely choking this series away.
And this is another thing. See if you agree with this. I think Towns, his moment was in the Pistons series. You have to remember. Remember, he got smashed in the side, and he was clearly, like, wounded or something, and he stayed in the game.
Mm-hmm.
He was favoring, like, he got a shot in the ribs. I forget exactly what happened, but he was definitely in pain, but he stayed in the game, all right? This is now, and I got a nickname for Bridges. Snatch, because he snatches down.
Yeah, I mean, it's it's also a great movie. That's funny. To end these games, like, how similar are these games? And to have it end that way, with Mikal Bridges making the defensive play back-to-back days, with him holding the ball, throwing it up in the air to try and waste whatever clock is left, I mean, what are the odds? The Celtics can't get a shot off when it matters. It's crazy. It is crazy where we are. These have been two of the more, and this one in particular, I thought they had a chance at almost all points. I mean, was I confident they would win down 20 in game one? No, obviously I wasn't confident, but I still felt like there was a chance that they could get close and back into it. And, you know, how great Brunson is at the end of these games. Like, I just thought there was a chance. They played relatively well enough in the first half, make me think that, like, there was nothing about this game. Nothing other than the Celtics still weren't playing great, right? Other than the Celtics weren't running away with it, and it felt like they were, you know, still not playing their kind of basketball or hitting enough shots or being who they are, looking off. Other than that, there was nothing the Knicks were doing. Like, I give Karl Anthony Towns a lot of credit for how he played in the first half. He was keeping them alive. He was getting to the basket. He was hitting tough shots. He really played well down in the first half to keep the Knicks even in the game. But like there was really nothing going on that made me feel confident that the Knicks could come back, and especially to do it back to back, it's unheard of. Like I was relaxed watching the game. Like I was disappointed in how they played, but ultimately I was relaxed watching the game, figuring, okay, listen, they're tied 1-1. I never really felt that they were going to win the game until really. I mean, I guess when they cut it down to 10, whenever you get down to 10, you feel like you're two possessions away from being 4 points down and anything could happen. So like then I started to give them at least a little bit of hope, but like never. And then to just have Mikal Bridges out of nowhere, who he was awful in this game. He was awful offensively. And to have him suddenly start hitting all these shots and dragging them back into the game, and then to close it out like this, I mean, Mikal Bridges, you have to be this is his three game run here is historic. Like that's how I feel about it. It's extremely memorable. Whatever happens from this point on, like to close out the Pistons, and again, that Piston series to me has absolutely had a major impact on this series. I think the Knicks owe a debt of gratitude to that Pistons team and how they played. Because I think they are battle-tested. I think that the way they had to fight to beat that Pistons team has absolutely impacted their mental toughness in this series late in the game. But how he helped close out that game 6 against Detroit and what he's done in the fourth quarters and overtime of these two first games, I mean, he is right now, I would call him the hero of the series. Right now, he is the defining figure. As great as Brunson was down the stretch, hit the big shots, hit three threes in a row at the end of the game Monday night, no doubt. And even this game, he has a couple big buckets. He has the bucket that gives him the lead. Then he has the two foul shots off the foul. Like, Brunson's great, and he's the star of the team, and they're not anywhere near here without him. Who's the best player in the series? Who's the dominant figure in this series for the New York Knicks? It's Mikal Bridges. And if they beat the Boston Celtics, the trade has already paid for itself.